You're listening to the Friday Morning Show. This is KEXE KBXE. We are Northern Community Radio, member-supported radio across northern Minnesota. And to those of you listening to us online from places far away, thank you for tuning in this morning. We appreciate it. It's time for On the House. Once a month, we welcome Jesse Davis into our studios. He's an area real estate agent. We've talked about things like painting your house, home inspections, mortgages. Today, we're going to talk about a local rental housing task force. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Jesse, thanks for coming here and introduce us to your guests today.
Well, thank you. Today, we've got a former city council person, Barb Sanderson, who sits on the board of the Itasca Housing and Redevelopment Authority. And then we've got the Itasca HRA's Executive Director, Diane Larson.
Great.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And so these gals who I had known and we'd met in certain circumstances, they came to my attention. You know, some of my clients are rental investment property buyers. And I had heard about this task force and that the city council had been looking at ways to kind of, if not regulate, just make sure that there were some minimum standards for rentals. And, nothing had been enacted at that point, and there were just some kind of questions there. And so I started doing a little bit of digging and, you know, found an article from way back in March in the newspaper from kind of a town meeting that had happened in conjunction with this task force, but I really wanted to do a little bit more of a deep dive and, you know, see what this task force had found out and what some of their recommendations might be, and basically some of the information that they found, what other communities they looked at, and how that's helped the renters in this market. So perhaps we can just talk a little bit about the genesis of this task force, Barb?
Sure. Let me just start out by saying, you know, that Grand Rapids, like other communities, we face the same issues that other small towns across the state do in terms of housing. Rents are rising faster than our incomes. Our housing stock is aging. Our population is aging. Homelessness, unfortunately, is growing. And housing ownership is more difficult for working families. Many people now are having to choose between food and medical care and housing. And gaining access to safe, decent, accessible housing improves our quality of life in so many different ways. We know from studies, in fact, that stable housing impacts neighborhoods and communities, and children do a lot better in school when they're in stable housing, and families are healthier. Businesses in the nonprofit world grow when we have homes for everyone. Housing, as I said, contributes to positive health outcomes and ensures that families and neighborhoods thrive. So what happened was in July of 2017, a year or so ago, the city council prioritized this study of residential rental licensing inspection. And this is based on the city's comp plan that calls for a couple of things. It calls for the protection and enhancement of diverse and livable residential areas within the city. And it also calls for the provision of services that protect public health and safety and welfare of all residents. So what happened was a year or so ago, the city established this rental task force. I chaired that, and Diane is a member of that, along with some other folks. And Diane, I know you're going to talk a little bit about the membership of the task force.
Yeah, that was a question I wanted to know. Mm-hmm. What kind of a group of individuals did you have looking at these issues?
I'll go ahead and address that, Jesse. In July of 2017, the City Council received applications for those that might be interested in participating in this task force, and they appointed what they called a Residential Rental Licensing and Inspection Task Force. We call it just the task force. And there were actually 8 members that were appointed to that task force, and I'm just going to briefly go through them because it is a group with a wide variety of interests, including landlords that were on this task force. So as Barb said, she chaired the task force. Rick Blake was a member, and he was representing the City Council. Pat Schwartz was representing the Grand Rapids HRA. I represented the Itasca County HRA. Roseanne Casey was a member representing Kootaska Community Action. And then we had 3 landlords. Steve Loney represented landlords with properties, small properties between 1 and 9 units. Dwayne Schraw is a landlord in our community, and he was representing landlords who have medium-sized properties between 10 and 20 units. And Lori Duchesneau was a member, and they are a rental property manager as well as a property management firm that has properties that they manage all over the state, but several in the city of Grand Rapids. And typically those are larger units, 20 plus units. In addition, we did have 2 city staff that provided a lot of support to our task force. They gathered information that we needed, and those 2 folks were Rob Matei, the Director of Community Development, and Travis Cole, who was the building official at the time.
Well, it sounds like quite a motley crew there.
it was.
Tell me a little bit about your methodology. What mm-hmm. were you looking for, and what were you hoping to find, and what outcomes came
sure.
out?
Let me just say a couple of things, and maybe Diane can get into the elements of the ordinance. But starting in August of 2017, we studied current housing statistics, and we took input from the public on a potential ordinance. We looked at ordinances from other cities. We conducted open monthly meetings to which the public was invited, and we had members of the police force and other groups coming in and talking to us about a prospective ordinance. And out of that came a rough outline, and we visited a smaller task force, went to Bemidji and looked at their ordinance to see whether that fit our community. But Diane, you probably want to talk a little bit about the elements of the ordinance itself or the process.
Sure. Typically, what we found in communities is there's really 2 main components to a rental ordinance and licensing program within a community. And the first one is that there's really a scheduled systematic rental inspection of every rental property within your community. And each community does that a little differently. Some communities choose to look at what basic standard they want to set. Others might use the state building code. Some would inspect properties every year. Some inspect them every 2 years or every 3 years. On average, we found that there's an inspection of rental properties typically once every other year. And really, the sole purpose of that is just to ensure minimum safety standards. Most of those inspections in those communities are looking at basic things like fire hazards, minimum heating standards, sanitary conditions, just very basic inspection standards. Really, in our communities, we like to think that our landlords and our rental properties really are a community asset, and we just really want to preserve the value of this in our community. And as we look at that, the second component of that would help the city is there's an annual license requirement of all rental properties. So each landlord would be required to register their properties. That way the city would have a handle on what rental properties are out there, how many do we have in the city of Grand Rapids, and be able to gather information from those landlords.
That was something that surprised me when I was talking to you earlier, that We actually don't know how many rental units there are in Grand Rapids.
That's right. We really don't have a handle on rental properties. So this would give all of us as community members a handle on the number of properties. We do have a sense of this. And in the study, we looked at statistics, of course, and so on, and we found that our housing stock in Grand Rapids is aging. That was one of the big findings. Our housing stock, over 50% of rental units were built prior to 1980, the year that the city adopted the Minnesota State Building Code. We have one of the oldest housing stocks around, considerably older than other cities our size. Also, we found out that about a third of residents live in rental properties, and this is an increase of about 10% since 2010, and about 40% of housing units are rentals. So what's happened is we've gotten a lot more people living in rental properties, and the properties themselves, as a general rule, are aging. So there's some issues that really need attending to in terms of health and safety of all of our housing units, but particularly rental.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to On the House here on KXC, KBXC, and we are speaking with Diane Larson from the Itasca County HRA and Rental Housing Task Force Chair Barb Sanderson. She wears so many hats, I don't know what to call her. But we're just learning about this Rental Housing Task Force for here in Grand Rapids, looking at perhaps potential ordinances, inspections, and licensing that may come about for the growing number of rental properties here in Grand Rapids.
Is there anything within these ordinances or anything you studied about the cost to someone who needs to rent a place?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, we did. That was one of the things that came up in a public meeting that we had, is some concerns from landlords, and rightfully so, is what is the cost to enact something like this? And what is the cost to our landlords? What is the cost that's potentially passed on to renters in our community? And what we found in doing an actual analysis of a smattering of rental units here in the community is that depending on the number of units they have, that cost could range anywhere from about 97 cents per unit per month, or about a dollar, all the way up to $8.86 per unit per month. And that would be the cost that a landlord would incur with a proposed fee to register their properties. And I think in some cases that probably would be passed on to the tenant. But that is the cost that we were looking at.
And I'm glad that you have landlords involved in this, but you talk about them being a valuable, important part of the community. But how, you know, if you're talking about inspections, you're talking about putting some of the burden on them. How do they feel about these inspections and how they have to keep things up to date?
I think most, if I may, most landlords value an inspection because it means that it's easier for them to rent their property. They know that they've met at least the minimum codes so that their properties are safe and decent, easier to rent. Their renters are happier because they live in safe conditions. I think that most landlords are not concerned about an annual or an inspection every 2 years on their properties. I think that's a growing trend in our state, and it's a good one. Of course, for those properties that are substandard, it's going to be, there'll be some cost for people to, you know, get their property up to safe and decent standards. But I think for most landlords that it would not be a negative thing.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering, too, you know, when I work with investment property owners, they're always concerned about the insurance cost. You know, what is it going to cost to insure this? How old is it? What kind of heating does it have? I would almost think that, you know, having this inspection, having this certification might help with your insurance costs too. Now, you had mentioned that probably the closest city of mm-hmm. that you had looked at, you said maybe 17 cities you'd looked at, but there were four, Park Rapids, Alexandria, Brainerd, and then Bemidji.
Bemidji, yeah.
Were the kind of the closest to Grand Rapids. So, you know, Bemidji is where KBXC, the sister uh-huh. station of KXC, is. What does their ordinance look like?
Well, their Diane may get into details, but their ordinance looks a lot like the one that we're proposing here for Grand Rapids. It's an ordinance that's very workable in Bemidji. The city is pleased with it. People who, the landlords are generally pleased with it. Renters are pleased with it. It's brought some big advantages to the rental scene in Bemidji through the years. The cost has not been an undue burden, according to landlords. It's been a successful ordinance, and it's we talked to people over there and met with several of them, and they indicated that a rental ordinance has been a very positive thing for their community. It's enhanced neighborhoods, help people keep up their property. Bemidji has been a community where there's a lot of rental property because of the university and other business and so on in the community. So it's worked out well for Bemidji.
Now, do these certifications that these other places that you've looked at, does that in any way make these houses more eligible for some kind of housing subsidization? You know, a lot of times people refer to Section 8 vouchers and things of that sort. I would imagine something like that, where the government is involved with some of the rents there, that things have to meet certain minimum codes and certifications, inspections, and the like.
Right, and all our Section 8 properties are inspected, and Diane might say more about that. It's an ongoing process.
Yeah, any property that's receiving federal rental subsidy through the Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program is inspected by one of our staff now every other year. It used to be annually. We are seeing HUD, who funds that program, coming around in such that if there's a community where you can show that your community has a rental standard that meets or exceeds that minimum standard, the owner would not then be subjected to the Housing Choice Voucher inspection. So it would relieve the landlord potentially of that second inspection. And of course, that's just really becoming something new with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development that we're seeing. But certainly, that is an option for our community that we could look at if this ordinance were enacted. Right now, we don't have that option.
Okay. So, if you were to kind of boil this down into a nutshell, what are some of the findings, the recommendations, and perhaps some of the timeline or projected timeline of implementation? You know, what have you learned, and where are you going from here?
Okay. We made a presentation to the City Council in May of this year. And with that, our recommendation was that the city move ahead with the adoption of a rental housing and inspection ordinance. For folks who want a copy of that or want to look at that proposed ordinance, they may call or talk to the city's community development office in City Hall and get a copy of that. In our report to the city, we listed a number of benefits that tie back to what I originally said about, you know, improving housing stock and safe and decent neighborhoods and all those benefits in our community. But we said in our benefits that the ordinance supported the goals of the city's comp plan. It ensured that housing was decent, safe, and sanitary for approximately 34% of the population that lives in rental housing. We also said that real estate values of both rental housing and neighboring properties will benefit from the proposed ordinance. Some units will be improved with safety regulations. The regular inspection program will improve the health and safety of these units. We said that this ordinance will encourage the positive work of a great majority of our landlords who keep wonderful properties in our city. And also the city could get a handle on the number of properties and where they sit in the neighborhoods and so on. So from a city's planning standpoint for the future, it would be a positive thing. So for all those reasons, we recommended the adoption.
Okay. Well, you know, I know this is a you know, a big, long task or a long timeline. There's been a lot of information there, and it's a lot of stuff to boil down into a 20-minute conversation. But certainly, I'm going to go ahead and scan these documents in, and maybe we can make them available through KXC or through a Facebook posting there, because I think it's something that people would really like to see and understand that, you know, a third of our citizens in this town are renting, and mm-hmm. this affects a lot of folks in our community. So mm-hmm. thank you very much for coming in and enlightening us and for the work that you do to make sure that our citizens are living in safe and sanitary houses.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Jesse.
We would love to hear from you. Let us know what's going on in your community, or if you have a question you'd like to pose to Jesse for an upcoming episode of On the House, send it our way, comments@kaxc.org. It's the Friday Morning Show.